I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Previously on Mentally Yours.
I was absorbing a lot of negativity, real or imagined, and it is just derailing me completely. So you have to go, that is not running me. You know, I have to run myself. I've got my truth, and I just have to get back to that playful person that I am when I'm funny. And that's all I can offer.
It's Mentally Yours from Ellen and Yvette. A podcast on your mental health you surely won't regret. It's mentally yours.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Mentally Yours, Metro.co.uk's weekly mental health podcast. While you're here, you should also check out our sex podcast, which is called Good Sex, Bad Sex. I'm Ellen, and you might notice that Yvette is not actually here today. Sorry about that, Yvette fans. This week's guest is Amelia Perrin, who is a beauty writer and general brilliant person. She's got a new book coming out as well about our obsessions and our obsessive culture. And we're going to be chatting to her about Tourette's and OCD and what people get wrong about Tourette's, because it's not just about yelling out random swear words.
It's not directly a mental problem, but it is something where your brain and your body parts don't connect. So it kind of is.
Because it's neurological.
Yeah, exactly. But they said it was, I don't know, maybe they were chatting shit. But apparently it's not exactly a mental, it has kind of its own category.
Yeah.
Because, you know, mental health is mental, whereas Tourette's is more physical, I guess. But it's kind of both. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do feel that it gets left out. I hadn't seen anything about it really until like the Undateables existed. Yeah. And that's not great.
I think anytime you see something that you have being described as undateable, it's like, oh, great.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I just like when that show was on, it's so popular all online. You know, how we're talking about Love Island currently, the show. Everyone talks about the Undateables, and it's just like, oh my God, did you see that guy with Tourette's? I'm like, oh, like, now I know how other people feel when people make fun of them.
Yes, yeah. It feels uncomfortable for sure. Do you notice that people get things wrong about Tourette's? Because I think people have one idea of what Tourette's is, and that's it.
It's like the swearing thing that people, that has a name, which I've conveniently forgotten. And the scary thing that my doctor told me was that any new tick or trigger, like swearing, can just come to you at any time.
Fun.
You could be 40 and never had it, and then suddenly you'll get that one, the fun one. So I am awaiting the day that I wake up and that happens to me.
Well, that's great.
I'm hoping it doesn't. Mm. But I think the main mistake people make is that it's just swearing, whereas it's not. It's lots of other things. It's like physical tics and It can be words that aren't swearing. It can be like physical movement. It can be, it's basically just where your brain can't tell your body parts what to do properly. So you might be thinking, I want to move this, and your body part will move something else. Like, or it might move involuntarily. Like, you might make sounds involuntarily. Yeah, it's just a lot of different things. And swearing actually makes up a really, really tiny percentage of the people that have Tourette's.
That's really interesting. I wonder why that's become like the inflated.
I think it's just because thing. It's so funny. Like,
yeah,
it is funny. It's, you know, there's not another disease like it that just makes people involuntarily swear. Nothing is like that. So yeah, I think it's funny when, you know, your aunt swears at dinner, and it's funny when someone can't stop swearing. So well,
and it's funny when someone who's really like small and innocent and sweet,
yeah,
if they're just letting rip with the worst possible words, like, this is
exactly
incredible.
And that's why it's funny. Funny being a not term that I use.
Yes, I'm sure. How does Tourette's affect you then?
Another thing that's, I think, is a common mistake is that it affects people mainly when they're younger and in their teenage years. So I'm sort of over the worst of it, over the hump, which is a good thing for me. But it affects you at your worst years to be affected by something. Yeah, right. Like that when bullying is rife.
Yeah.
So it affected me more in school because, you know, kids are kids. They'll ask and tell it how it is. And I think the moment where I was like, oh, fuck, I need to go and do something about this, I was in like my biology lesson and we did like a fake GCSE, you know, like everyone sits in silence. And I remember this girl who was like my best friend at the time, she sat next to me and she was like, will you just shut up? Like, and she said to the teacher, like, can you get her out? Like, because at this point, I didn't know what was wrong with me. And the teacher, you know how teachers are very, like, sensitive. The teacher knew something wasn't right. And she was like, well, I think you should maybe, just, move away. Or, you know, it's very, like, very PC about it. Yeah, didn't try and draw more attention to it. And then that just like really upset me because I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a comeback because I didn't know there was a name. I was just making these noises and moving this way and I didn't know why. So I was just like embarrassed, really. So it was just that until I went to a doctor and then to a therapist who told me what it was. At least then I had a comeback for when. And I think when it had a name, people stopped teasing me for it because once you know someone actually has something wrong with them, I mean, you can still tease them for it, but yeah, you're less likely to if you just think they're like a weirdo.
Yeah, you realize that actually this is a bit dickish.
Exactly.
Like, I can't make fun of someone if they have a condition.
So at school was when it was worse, but now I think as an adult, adults don't say stuff about other adults like that. Maybe behind my back, but not to my face. Yeah.
Yeah. What tics and noises and movements were you doing? And do you still do as well?
Yes, and good thing this is a podcast because no one can see me. But the more you talk about them, the more they happen.
Yeah.
So if I am like relaxed and forget about them, you probably won't notice. But now I'm talking about them, you probably will. But it's more like they come and they go. They're called like transient tics. Okay. So you usually don't get them all at once. You'll get one at a time and then you'll get another one, and it would just like be cyclical more or less, unless you're like really stressed and tired, then you might have two simultaneously. But like I think my first one, this was when I was about 5, was like a rapid eye blinking and almost like a facial twitch, because I remember I was on like the train from Disneyland, like Paris, and it was happening to me. And I remember my family just thinking, like, they said to me, like, oh, you must be really tired. You need to have a sleep because, you know, you're making funny movements. And then I remember someone said, oh, you're far too beautiful to be doing that. Don't do that with your face. Or, you know, like, make that face and the wind will change and you'll be stuck with it. Like, that kind of shit. And I was like, well, I can't help it. But I was like 4, 5, so I don't really know how to voice that. Yeah. But yeah, so it can be like a facial tic. It can be a physical movement thing. It runs in my family, and one of my family members has quite a physical one. So like arm movements, leg movements, involuntary like bodily limb movements, basically. It can be like noises, like it can be like coughing. It can, you know, you can mistake it for other things. I remember someone at university turned around in a lecture and he was like, why are you laughing at this lecture? And I was like, I'm not, like, this is, I'm trying to listen and I'm really sorry that I'm like yeah. But then I got to know him and explained, and he was like, oh, I just thought you were laughing in that first lecture. So that's the kind of thing it can be perceived to be from other people.
Talking about tics kind of makes them worse from other people or when you're talking about it yourself. So what made you want to come on a podcast and talk about tics for quite a while?
You have a point.
Not accusatory, but just genuine interest.
No, as I've said, I think that we established like 2 seconds in that it's not well known enough. People don't know about it enough. So, you know, A, it's a point of interest. That's why it's on the undateables. And I've seen recently, I think I saw a TV show where like a YouTuber had Tourette's and decided to talk about it. You know, it's interesting because we don't hear about it. So I think it's one of those things, coming on a podcast to talk about it might make mine worse for the rest of the day. But for the rest of the day, I'm with people that know about it. So it's fine. It's chill. It's whatever.
Sorry in advance.
That's fine. Just awareness really makes it less of an elephant in the room for other people that might have it. So if someone has been in an office with someone they think, you know, has something wrong with them, and then they listen to this podcast, they might be more understanding and realize to not bring it up to that person. So yeah, I mean, as I say, it's completely down to the person. It might not be every single person with Tourette's. The second they start talking about it or it gets brought up, it gets worse for them. They might really want to talk about it, you know, get it out there. But that's just me personally.
And improving understanding in general, yes, is going to be good for everyone.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
You mentioned that your members of family have Tourette's as well. Does that mean they were kind of aware of what was going on before you were? Or did it take a while to figure out what was happening?
I think the link didn't really make sense until I went to a doctor and they were like, well, do you have anyone in your family that has this? And I was like, oh, yeah, oops. But it's a side of the family that I kind of rarely see, so I wouldn't have kept them updated in the loop. Probably if we were sisters, it would have been
more obvious. Oh, it makes sense.
Yeah.
How old were you when you did get diagnosed?
It was when I was like 13. Knew there was something wrong, but mainly went to the doctors because you know how if you have something like dyslexia or whatever, it then makes things like exams easier, things like that. I didn't know if there was anything that I, because it was coming up to like GCSE years, I didn't know if there was anything that I needed to be aware of. And because of, like, for example, when I said about the exam, I was disturbing other people. I didn't know whether it would be best for me to go to like a different room. I didn't end up doing anything. I could have had an extra time in a different room, basically, at a computer instead of, you know, how some people got laptops to like do their exams on. But I never ended up taking any of those things. But it allowed me to have, once you have a diagnosis, it allowed me to have more help if I needed it. And also, I remember what I did was, I was just like so embarrassed. I got the diagnosis and I got the letter saying what it was.
Yeah.
And I put it in my like head of years pigeonhole thing and asked them, basically wrote like a handwritten letter, and I was like, can you tell my teachers what it is so I don't have to tell them and I don't have to have this awkward conversation, so the next time anything happened they would be able to be like, shut up.
Yeah. Was there anything you had to do differently or any like treatment you went through, or was it just a matter of like, now people know what it is, it's fine?
For me, it was like, now people know what it is. And that was my main reason for going to the doctors and stuff. But they did put me through, it's kind of weird because therapy isn't the right word for it. It was more like, it was therapy, but as nothing really causes it, it was like a management thing. And it wasn't very helpful, honestly. I think it's more helpful for more mental disorders than this. But the most helpful thing was they helped me describe it to other people, and they said it's like holding in a sneeze, and if you keep holding it in, it's going to come out much worse at some point. And everyone knows how holding a sneeze is like so irritating, you just can't do it. So people understood more once I told them that little metaphor.
And that's a good description, actually. Yeah. Does that mean that, because I know you also have been diagnosed with OCD, and I'm wondering what the kind of distinct difference is between a compulsion and a tic, because they're both things that, you know, you can't stop yourself from doing.
Yeah.
But there is a difference.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with you. And Tourette's, it's a weird one. And when I did more research, I realized that most people aren't just diagnosed with that. They're diagnosed with like a smaller side hustle. So yeah, like a smaller one. So the Tourette's will be the one that affects you mainly. Mm. And you could be diagnosed with something like Asperger's or something else as like a smaller side thing. I didn't realize it's one of the ones where you get one and you probably get another at the same time. And at the same time, they were like, we think you have, like, luckily for me, mild, like, obsessive compulsive disorder. And it's on a hygiene basis, like a personal hygiene. Like, I see germs everywhere. It's almost like I can see them. Like, I touch something and I'm like, I can feel them on me and I need to go and wash. And I agree. There is a difference between, like, a tic and a compulsion. I think it's easier to manage the OCD side, but then maybe that's because it's my smaller one. Someone with like a full-blown obsessive compulsive disorder may disagree with that. So I don't want to offend anyone there it's easier to
So I think it's interesting, like I just wouldn't know the exact distinction because they are
it's hard to distinguish between them, and I think that's why they come hand in hand like that.
I've
seen a lot of other people like say that they had online and stuff on the forums say that they have Tourette's and OCD. So I think there's a definite link. Yeah, I think it's mainly the Tourette's is because it's your head telling your body to do something, so you can't stop that.
Yeah,
and obsessive, you know what I mean, I can stop myself doing it. It'll be hard to do it, but I could technically just be like, no, you don't need to shower right now, stop it.
Yeah. Are you aware of tics when they're happening?
Yeah. I can definitely, of course I still get like self-conscious about it. At like a friend's dinner a couple of years ago, you know how kids are, I literally said, you know how kids are, like five times, there was like a 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was just before dinner and he was like, why are you doing that with your face? And like no one at the table knew yet, or I just hadn't thought to bring it up. And it would just, I thought, you know, I could either tell this 8-year-old the truth or I could lie.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I have Tourette's. And he just like, okay. Like kids are ready to accept.
So
yeah. Kids are ready to accept it. But everyone at the table felt the awkwardness. And I just, I'd like that to stop.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you feel like you're more comfortable talking about Tourette's and OCD in general now? And do you think the internet has helped you at all with that?
Yeah, I do think so. I think that anyone with any sort of mental health problem now, I think the internet, I mean, I'm trying to speak for everyone here, and maybe the internet has not helped everyone, but I feel like the internet has allowed for, you know, more understanding, at least, of things like depression, anxiety, things like that. And, you know, I see people online talk about their depression, anxiety, know them in person, they've never spoken about it. I feel like the internet allows you to be a bit more faceless, and like I said at the dinner table, you know, I'm not surrounded by like family and friends immediately that then have to respond. On the internet you can choose not to respond, whereas around a dinner table there had to be someone that would then like start the conversation back up again, whereas online you can you can choose to engage and give your support, or you can ignore like a dickhead.
did the conversation go okay?
Yes, I think it was my mum was there.
Yeah.
And my mum's very good at making conversation flow. And I think she just picked it back up, like commented on the lunch, you know.
Perfect. Yeah, because I think that's always the fear, is just dead silence.
Yeah,
no one really knowing how to respond.
And I was expecting this, you know, young kid to be like, well, what's that? And I was, you know, willing to explain in a kid-friendly way what that is. But kids are more likely to just accept what you tell them as fact.
Exactly. Yeah. They're much easier to talk to about mental health stuff because they will just go, okay, cool.
Exactly.
Whatever. Have you had any kind of bad responses to Tourette's or OCD?
Yes. I had a partner for a while and he kind of just, he knew that I had this obsession with like cleanliness and the OCD, and he knew that it was like a bodily hygiene thing, and he thought the best way to make me deal with it would be by ignoring that and doing nothing to help me. So I know, he was like, you'll get over it this way. No, that's not how it works. So like he would do something and I would ask like a very simple request. I'd be like I would love to, you know, hug you or whatever, but could you please like just wash your hands? Because I see germs, I know what you've just touched, if you would wash your hands or whatever, and I'm gonna have a shower, blah blah blah, blah. And he'd be like, no, like as if like taking a stand against it would help me. And I'd be like, if you didn't know there was anything wrong with me, I'd be like, okay, maybe I'm just like, you know, asking someone to wash their hands is rude. But I was like, you know, there's something wrong. And you know that that's what I'm like. If you could comply with this very simple demand, it would make my life easier. And he was just like, no. So that caused arguments. Tourette's wise, I think kids can be dickheads. Mm. And even when at school people knew what it was, like sick form exams and stuff, there would still be a couple people. I remember a comment that was, you know how you'd sit in your rows with your surnames?
Yeah.
There'd be a boy who had a surname with a similar initial to mine, and he'd be like, oh, fuck's sake, not sitting next to you again. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. And maybe I should have demanded that I sat in a different room, but I also didn't want it to... I didn't want to have a different experience from everyone else just because of this one thing.
Were your tics frequent enough that it would be, like, genuinely...
Well, this is the thing. As I say, like, the more stressed you are, the worse it gets. I'm actually quite chilled, like, exams and stuff. I mean, just winging life. So, yeah. But probably, but also when you're in exam, you should be focusing on your exam.
Yeah.
You know, there are noises all over the shop. You just need to... focus on you.
People are always tipping their chairs, etc., which is equally annoying.
Quiet farts.
Oh god. On the hygiene note, I know obviously you're into beauty and makeup stuff. How does that play into things? Because I know makeup and beauty can be messy a lot of the time.
Definitely. When I do my makeup, like, on the move, I always have to bring, like, wipes and stuff with me, because if it's on me, it's all I will focus on. If I can feel, like, if I, you know, everyone pumps, like, foundation onto the back of their hand, if I can see or feel that there has been something, like, on my hand, I'm like, no, I need to get this off right now. But I do think, you know, in magazines and stuff, it's always lumped together. It's, like, beauty, hair, and, like, bath care. And I feel like, I don't know, I'm not saying I have, like, some more special knowledge, because I like to be more clean than the average person, but I do think it helps to, you know, when I'm thinking about, like, testing products and stuff, I'm like, how does this make me feel as someone who is uber, uber, uber hygienic versus a regular person who just wants to feel semi-hygienic?
Yeah. So, genuinely, I think that's
maybe
important.
It helps.
Even in terms of, like, packaging and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Important to consider as well.
Yeah.
What do you kind of wish that people knew about Tourette's and OCD? And that you wish people had known when you were younger as well?
I feel like when I was younger, people would think I was putting it on. Or not like faking, but making it worse than it needed to be. And I just wish people knew that the more you mention it to someone and the more you talk about it, the worse it's going to get. So it's a vicious cycle. Like, ignore it as if you would, you know, when people... have problems that cause them to, like, you know, you're in a shop and someone is shouting or making noise involuntarily, like, you walk along, you ignore it, you don't want to draw attention to the fact that you know someone has an issue currently, and you know, you don't want to draw attention to the fact, you want them to be comfortable, you want to be comfortable. I feel like I wish people knew it was like that, where I can't help it, and if we could just, you know, move on, ignore, it's like the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
But I feel like when I tell people, so, like, my parents and stuff, they know. My boyfriend knows, so it doesn't get brought up, because if they see me doing it or hear me doing it, they know that I'm aware.
Yeah.
They're aware. We're all aware. Just don't bring it up, and then it's better for everyone.
Thanks very much to our guest, Amelia Perrin, for chatting with us today. This is the bit in the podcast where usually Yvette and I would chat about what we've just talked about with the guest, but obviously Yvette is not here, so I'm just going to kind of ramble on my own. I found it really interesting talking about the difference between kind of compulsions and tics. With Amelia, her brain used to tell her when she was a child to blink more or move a certain muscle, and there wasn't necessarily a reason behind that. Whereas for me, with my OCD, there's always a reason why I might have a compulsion. So if I need to go downstairs and check something, it's because I'm really scared of the house burning down or someone breaking in. So for me, those are, that would maybe the difference between them. But I think what's important to note is that they're similar in being very, very difficult to resist. It's not a decision. Just like Amelia's not saying, I'm just going to blink and wrinkle up my face, I wouldn't say I'm just going to check things, and if I don't want to, I can just not do that. I think both conditions, it's part of the struggle of them is feeling completely out of control of your own actions and your own thoughts.
So this is goodbye.
If you've been affected by any of the issues we've discussed today or any other mental health issues, please contact the Samaritans on 116 123 or go to the website at samaritans.org. Thanks very much to our guest Amelia Perrin, thanks to our producer Sam Bonham, and thanks to Lucy Baker for the jingles. You should join us online. We have a safe space for chatting about all kinds of mental health issues on Facebook. It's a group, it's private. If you search Mentally Yours, it should come up. You can also keep up to date with what's going on Twitter at Mentally Yours, spelled YRS instead of yours. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.